It was that team of water researchers from Virginia Tech University who proved the people of Flint were being poisoned by water from the Flint River. Flint switched back to Detroit drinking water last October. Today, Virginia Tech's Mark Edwards delivered the results of a second round of water sampling that his team did last month in Flint. Mark Edwards is with us now. Good to have you back on Stateside, Mark.
Thank you for having me.
Now, the EPA standards for lead spell out an action level of 15 parts per billion for 90% of a community. Tell us, what did your testing show? Where is Flint today?
Even though we did not sample the highest risk homes, which is what EPA requires, Flint water was still at 23 parts per billion, which is still over the 15 part per billion action level. And had we followed the law and sampled more homes with lead pipe, it's likely it would have been a little bit higher. So the lead levels are down from last August, but still too high. So people are going to have to keep using bottled water and filters until further notice.
Are you saying everybody, every homeowner needs to still consider that the water isn't safe?
Yes.
Now, does this count for bathing and washing as well as drinking and cooking?
No, the bathing and showering it's as safe as other U.S. cities. I mean, bathing and showering is not a risk-free activity. There's bacteria in the water of every city that can hurt us. And, of course, we now know that in Flint, when the Flint River was being used, that the bacteria, harmful bacteria levels such as Legionella, they were just too high. But at present, the system is being very well managed, and the bacteria levels look in line with other U.S. cities. Hence, Flint water is as safe as other cities to bathe and shower in.
We've actually heard that there's kind of something like an urban legend that's developing in Flint that if you use less water, there'll be fewer problems.
It is. I think people were so fearful of the water, and the idea was it's corrosive, and the less of it you use, the less corrosion of your home pipe system that you'll have. Certainly, there's a logic to that. But in the present circumstance, by using less water, we're allowing more bacteria to grow. We're not getting the chlorine to the pipe. We're not getting the orthophosphate to the pipe. And hence, every dimension of the performance will improve if residents use more water. So scientifically, using more water is better for every home, and it's better for the entire city. And that's why I think EPA and the state are going to roll out a plan to try to encourage some flushing in the individual homes, again, to speed up this path to recovery.
Because I'm sure people are wondering, well, what's a good daily routine? Should I just open up the tap and let it run around the drain for how much time a day? So I'm sure there's a lot of questions people have in their mind about what that looks like.
Yeah, the ultimate plan is probably going to be for about a two-week time period to flush out your system thoroughly for 5 or 10 minutes using a high-flow faucet. Now, this would include your mud sink if you have one in your laundry room, or a Roman bath spout, or your hose bib outside. And so the idea is that if you run this at a very high rate, you're achieving pretty good velocities. Any loose lead rust, iron rust will be blown out of the system. And if we repeat that about 10 times, we will, again, like clean the system out. And probably after this, you know, two-week period is over, the homes will be kind of caught up to normal water use homes, and the pipes are clean enough so that they can start repairing themselves, and the bacteria will also be under control too.
Mark, besides this idea of flushing the system more so corrosion control treatment is more effective, are there other options to get the system in decent shape more quickly?
Yes, and the EPA and the state and the federal government, we were all at a table last week in Chicago, and it's really amazing the amount of effort that's being put into helping Flint's pipes and people recover here. But as far as the infrastructure, EPA is going to be starting to have automated flushing in the system so that even if people don't do this flushing or increase their normal water use, they're going to be pulling more water through the system at the distant parts. One of the zip codes was furthest from the treatment plant, and the lead levels and iron levels actually did not improve very much in that part of the system that's furthest away. And I know EPA had targeted that very part of the city for this kind of automated flushing. So in combination with the great monitoring that EPA is doing throughout the system and the city are doing, the state, chlorine levels are returning to normal after that two-year period when we went last summer, we didn't find chlorine in major, major parts of the system. Probably 80% of the system had no chlorine. It was really pretty scary. But the orthophosphate is now being distributed throughout the system. And so with these extra flushing programs and the good monitoring, I'm very, very confident that we're well on our way towards healing the pipes at least.
And certainly there's been much, much discussion led by Flint's Mayor Karen Weaver and other community leaders about getting the lead pipes replaced. And you and I talked on Stateside in the past about what goes into that, and you advise proceeding with great care and caution based on what you saw happen in Washington, D.C.
Yes. I mean, no one wants the lead pipes out more than me, Mayor Weaver, and all of Flint residents. I mean, I really hope we can make Flint into a model program to get the lead pipes removed, learn how to do it right, perhaps test cost-saving measures that would be employed in other U.S. cities. But the reality is there's two problems. One is it's going to take a long time, much longer than we thought, to find out where the lead pipes are, because the records the city kept, much like the records of other cities in the United States, they're just horrible. We don't really know where these lead pipes are. And literally, we're going to have to dig holes into people's yards to one by one figure out who has a lead pipe and who doesn't. That's going to take a year or two, even if we had a crash program. The second issue is money. And unfortunately, the bill didn't pass Congress to help get Flint infrastructure money. And frankly, I think the whole U.S. owes Flint some infrastructure money for the federal government's role in helping to create this man-made disaster. And that money is very much needed to upgrade their water main system. The water main system is not financially sustainable at this point. It is in such horrible shape. Flint has about 10 to 100 times more main breaks than a comparably sized U.S. city. And this is one reason the water bills are so expensive, and they will have to remain expensive until we get those bigger pipes fixed. So in terms of a return on investment, even though everyone wants these lead pipes out of the ground, it is almost equally and perhaps even more important to upgrade the water main system, because that old damaged system, it is a public health hazard because the bacteria growing, it's releasing iron to the system. The main breaks themselves can introduce contaminants, and it's very, very expensive to fix these main breaks. So we have to be much more proactive about this. We have to upgrade that infrastructure. Fixing on failure, as Flint is doing, is not financially sustainable.
And then I have to ask about testing. I know that your team did at a home in Flint on McClellan Street that had copper lines on both sides, the city and the homeowner, and that result was 1,000 parts per billion for lead. So even if
yes,
the lead pipe is gone, people could still have lead?
And that's another complicating factor. I mean, initially there was this oversimplification urban legend going around that if we get the lead pipes out, the lead problems go away. The reality is that the lead pipes were probably about 60% of the lead problem back in August 2015. However, now that we have corrosion control, one of the ironies, and it's kind of sad, is that the corrosion control is very, very effective at stopping lead release from the lead pipe. It's a little bit less effective for lead from solder or brass, which are in most homes throughout Flint, and it's even less effective for lead that's been stuck on galvanized iron pipe. The net result of all this is that when corrosion control is effective as it is today, it is actually quite likely that the lead pipe is not the primary source of lead in water anymore. And so simply replacing the lead pipe, while we have to do that, because if we don't, they'll be there to harm a future generation just as soon as they forget about them, we're not going to dramatically improve the lead levels as a result of replacing the lead pipe. The major sources that are in the system right now are probably solder, brass, and the galvanized iron. So this is complicating the logic and also the thoughts about where to best spend the money. If the money is limited, is it best spent on replacing lead pipes, or is it better spent on upgrading the water mains? Now, obviously, we have to do both. I'd like to do both. But if a hard decision has to be made, it's not going to be an easy call.
What would you do?
Well, we have to study this a little bit more. So keep doing the testing, track how much lead is actually coming from the lead pipes. But I think more importantly, someone has to do an economic analysis of what it would take to get a system in Flint that people could actually afford. The problem with these fixing these large pipes, when they break, they damage property, you have massive floods, and it's very expensive to fix on failure. That's a major reason why the water bills are so high. So I think after that financial analysis is done, a hard decision is going to have to be made. I'm not sure which direction it would go, but I would not be surprised if the hard facts were in front of us. We'd say that upgrading the water mains are equally or even more important than replacing a lead pipe. I hope it doesn't come to that. I hope there's enough money to do it all.
Mark Edwards of Virginia Tech University, thank you so much for talking with us today with the latest round of testing you've done in Flint. Thanks, Mark.
Thanks to you, and thanks to all the Flint residents who made that sampling happen.